He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, there we go, I'm not hearing myself, there we go, now I am. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And look, we had a massive breakout in the Dow yesterday. Which we have been predicting. It was only a matter of time. You know, we had the NASDAQ lead the way a couple months ago, the S&P 500 about a month ago, and it was only a matter of time before the Dow broke out. That happened yesterday, and it's up another 237 today. That is a beautiful breakout. I published that chart yesterday to my subscribers. Probably have it in my newsletter today. It's a pretty thing to behold. The Dow is now at 35,189, finally breaking out of that long sideways trend that it has been in. The S&P is up 20 to 4,574. It continues to break out. The NASDAQ is up 36. It's at 14,390. It continues to break out. The Russell 2K is up 0.5% today. I'm seeing a lot of action in the small caps. Crude oil is up $1.09 today. Gold is up 90 cents. Everybody's happy, except the bears, I guess. Silver's up 14 cents. The 10-year, pretty flat, 3.77. And last but not least, Bitcoin is up 111 to 29,989. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based nationwide fee-based only firm. And we are off and to the races here again today after yesterday's big, big day. The NASDAQ was up 366 points yesterday. I don't know that there was any one catalyst that really drove it other than, the cool inflation numbers. You had the news out of Microsoft, which helped break that NASDAQ out or Dow out. And the other two were Schwab and Morgan Stanley, of all places, to really kick in. And the financials were just on fire yesterday. They kind of led the way in the market, but tech was right there with it. I would call it the tech and the financials. Leading the breakout yesterday. Barry, we predicted it. We said it's just a matter of time before the Dow follows what the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 have done previously.
Yeah, and it's, that index obviously is not going to have, the way it's structured, it's kind of a bit archaic. It's the one that's been, out for forever. They used to, I think, sit on the corner in front of Wall Street and crunch the numbers on what the Dow was doing. But, with only 30 stocks, it can sometimes, lag. It can go the other way, which it did in, which it was the best performer in 2022. But, yeah, it looks like it's finally getting some legs under it and kind of broadening out the rally a little bit that you've been mentioning really since, what you were thinking in terms of rotation after the first half of the year.
Well, as of last Friday, the Dow was only up 4% on the year. And, of course, last year on a relative basis, you got to remember the market is relative. If something's up 0% and up something else is up 5% on a relative basis, it's doing a whole lot better. The Dow did a whole lot better. It did not go down as much as the NASDAQ did last year. But now when you get a hot kind of go-go market like we have this year in 2023, the Dow is going to lag, and that's what it did. So now you've got a seven-day win streak in the Dow. You've got the S&P 500 notching a new 52-week high. You've got the NASDAQ notching a new 52-week high. And, you know, I've been saying in the technical analysis portion of the newsletter each week, I just said there's not much resistance at all for all three of these indexes to get back to their new all-time highs or their old-time highs. And we've got, you know, the only thing that could prevent that would be a sudden downturn in the economy, maybe, you know, inflation heating up again or some kind of a black swan event. Other than that, I don't see a whole lot of resistance getting back to the old highs in the market. Now, you can't throw a dart and hit a winner in the market anymore like you could at the beginning of the year pretty much. Well, you would have had to hit one of those NASDAQ stocks. There weren't a lot of winners in the financials, basic materials. They've been left behind, industrials. But now it has spread out, and there is a lot more stocks and sectors participating. Valuation is definitely an issue. As I went through my list of holdings yesterday, I kind of flagged the ones that are still buyable, still have that 70 to 80% or more upside potential, and the ones that aren't buyable anymore. And that's where my focus is this the rest of the today and the rest of this week. Okay, let's begin with the numbers here. Euro inflation hits 5.5%. That could be one of the reasons why the market is up today, because not only is inflation cooling in the U.S., of course, that we saw that in the two reports last week, the CPI and the PPI. This European inflation number is the lowest since January of 2022. We're talking an 18-month low. And I think that's one of the big reasons for the move in the market today, on top of the earnings that we're getting yesterday.
And UK, and UK inflation also came in lower, the first time it's came in lower than expected in over 5 months. And, you know, they're still a little, still
running a little hot.
Hotter. They're at 7.9 in June versus 8.7 the previous month. So at least they're finally got back to the 7 handle instead of an 8. But you know, good reports on both fronts. I mean, we're continuing to seeing you know, softer inflation reports, which is, you know, what we all need as consumers, and from an economic standpoint, what we all need, and also what the Fed and other central banks around the globe need to, you know, to stop this interest rate hiking.
Yeah, exactly. And another good news on the interest rate front, the 30-year mortgage is back below 7. It popped up there for a short time. When we went to 4.05 on the 10-year, that 30-year mortgage went over 7.07, and now we're at 6.87. So you saw, you know, U.S. Treasuries go down 25 basis points, and so did the 30-year mortgage. And, you know, that leads into my next story about turnover in the housing market. Did you see that?
I did. Yeah, lowest what in a decade, I think they said.
Yeah, who's going to sell their home if you're sitting on a 3% mortgage and go out there and buy something new at a 7% mortgage? So the turnover, I didn't even know there was such a statistic out there, but with the advent of Redfin and Zillow, etc.
In that case, what, I guess it's time to remodel a bathroom or something, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be in there for a little while.
Yeah, people are camping out, man. They're kind of entrenched in their homes. You know, I see it. I just don't see all that much. If you're looking, if you're a first-time home buyer, there's just not a lot of inventory out there right now. If you're looking to move up, there's not a lot of inventory. If you're looking to move down, there's not a lot of inventory. It's because of this very unique interest rate situation that we're in right now with mortgage loans. Okay, now, yesterday, I just want to give you a little bit of a recap of what I saw. I saw about 15 breakouts. I looked at about 1,200 charts yesterday. I saw Ameriprise. I saw Comerica. I saw Jefferies. I saw KKR. B. Riley, I saw Raymond James Financial, and of course Schwab and Morgan Stanley just bust loose yesterday. That's You know, and that's not really interest rate coming from anything having to do with interest rates. It's coming from the earnings that they reported. And, you know, that's what we've been saying now for the last couple, 2-3 weeks, is it's now going to come down to earnings.
The show-me quarter.
Missouri quarter. That's right. We kind of have the Fed out of the way, you know. They can't really scare us too much from this point. And now it's going to come down to earnings. I saw some good action in a lot of energy stocks yesterday, and you got oil up again, $1.50 today. And I saw a lot of cyclicals doing well, like Caterpillar and Cummins Engines and Deere, which is indicative of, hey, they're expecting good earnings from these companies. And obviously the economy must be in fairly good shape to see those stocks moving. Okay, now, individual stocks when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the NASDAQ up about 40, Dow up 273 after the 366-point move yesterday, and a breakout. I mean, an official breakout. It's made three major attempts at a breakout through the resistance level over the last, probably 6 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks. But yesterday was decisive. It was very decisive. That chart says everything about what the Dow did yesterday, blasting through that resistance level. Now we're going to start to get into, you know, the heart of some really important companies' earnings reports, okay? We've had several, mostly the big banks, the money center banks. You know what? I don't pay that much attention, but at the same time, you don't want them reporting big downside surprises, and none of them did that. They all kind of beat a little bit.
Goldman could use a, you know, they've kind of been talking down their earnings. I saw theirs. Did you see where their profit dropped 58% year over year, while J.P. Morgan's profit was up 67%?
And yet this stinking stock is up 2.4% today, all right? Tonight, probably, now, these days, okay, so I've been doing this since the late 90s. And I can remember when Cisco was the big report. I can remember when Apple was the biggest report every quarter.
What was it? Alcoa used to always report first, and that was supposed to give you an idea of industrial production, remember? And,
yes.
Were they Alcoa then? Who were they?
Alcoa. And then there were always these glamour stocks, that everybody was weighing all eyes on Apple.
Yeah. Well, how many iPhones did they sell?
I'm just going to say today it's Tesla is the most important one, and they will report after the close tonight. We should have a pretty good feel. I mean, Tesla did come in, and they reported how many
new deliveries
they have. And Netflix will report. That's a pretty big one. Netflix in the past has been a big report. So for the first day of earnings season, we're going to get a couple of big ones. And then, you know, in comparison, Alcoa, nobody's going to be, holding their breath waiting for Alcoa's earnings to come out. So, Tesla will report. Analysts are expecting revenue to grow 47% year over year. And, I'm just amazed, just in our little neck of the woods, I didn't used to see hardly any Teslas, and now I see a lot of Teslas.
Yeah, and the margins, the big number today will be, you know, we kind of know what the deliveries are, like you said, and what's rolled off the assembly line, but, of course, more margins are going to be the important piece that they're going to look at, just because of some of those price decreases that that Tesla's announced over the last handful of months. And then what the other one, Netflix, it'd be interesting to see how that goes down, given the we got the writer's strike and actor's strike in Hollywood, and those streamers are going to have, you know, as long as longer this lasts, they're going to have less and less content. So.
Well, I got to believe that streaming is cutting into how much they can pay. You know, we don't have these blockbuster releases anymore. And, you know, it seems like the actors still want, they're still in the old days of, you know, the big glamorous Academy Awards.
Right.
Now, back to Tesla. Like you say, they've been decreasing the prices, and so that will show up in their margin. Okay, the other one that propelled the Dow to a breakout yesterday, because it itself broke out to a new all-time high, Microsoft. Microsoft closing in on the $3 trillion club. It's at $2.66 trillion today. $2.66 trillion. That's our friend Bill Gates. It hit an all-time high after unveiling their pricing for their AI tool, Copilot. Now, I didn't really get a chance to go into what Copilot is, but it will be a subscription. It sounds like it will be bundled in their Office software suite, which obviously you almost have to have on a computer, which is the spreadsheet and the Word and the presentation software and others. But they were going to put Copilot in there, which will cost $30 per user per month. That's pretty expensive, you know. That's a lot of revenue.
That's on top of Office and, you know, everything else. What I think Office is close to, I don't know, $120, depending on you know, user a year. So you top, you know, 30 times 12, right? That's 300, even more expensive, right? $360 more than you know, than Office is. So, CRM came out with one as well today. Similar story in terms of, you know, kind of their new AI tool, and CRM's one you've been kind of harping on for a while, particularly on the Dow side of things, and they're getting a bit of a boost this morning as well.
Yeah, that's Salesforce. Now, the question is, okay, so Office 365, you know, they see this as the third leg after, you know, after Word, Excel, and then Teams, and now they're introducing Copilot. So the question is, look, I can't live without Word. I can't live without Excel. I'm an Excel junkie. Teams, you know, we don't really use Teams all that much. Can I live without Copilot? Well, so far I'm doing okay.
We'll find out, right?
We'll find out if it becomes a necessary. Now, does that mean that chat, is ChatGPT not available to me? Or is Copilot something? I don't quite understand the relationship.
Yeah, and I think what Copilot, so there's two pieces I've been reading a lot about, really, is you know, number one, I always call it kind of a shortcut. So instead of you starting fresh and having to code all this stuff, right, you're going to be able to tap into Copilot. They're going to do a lot of that back-end work for you, and then you can keep moving forward with whatever AI project you're using. And the other piece is the data set. So a lot of these companies will have a unique data set. So take like a healthcare company, HCA, for example. They've got their own data. They don't share that data with other companies. And so that data set may have has value, right, to an AI model. And so, in other words, AI models will want to, you know, if they can, purchase, right, that data set in some form or fashion. So I think that's kind of how some of this stuff is going to end up being tied together in some form or fashion.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see if, you know, they're obviously, they're expecting it to be a pretty big revenue. Increase their revenue next year by as much as $9 billion, assuming 20% of their current customers choose the voluntary add-on, or $19 billion it would add to their revenue if 40% choose the add-on. So we'll see. And, of course, others. Now, TD Cowen, they raised their price target for Microsoft from $330 to $390. Then I saw another one who went to $420 from $390, and it's at $357. I'm with the $420 guy. I think definitely Microsoft has the possibility over the next 3-5 years to get to $420. Now, does that give it 70 to 80% upside potential right now? Not right here. Not right here. Not at this level. And that's key. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, the real question is, okay, at the beginning of the year, obviously there were a lot of good values around to be had. And the big difference was that the Fed was getting ready to wind down their extreme tightening program. Let's not forget there were 475 basis point hikes in a row, which is draconian, to say the least. And that really impacted those growth stocks. And then as it became obvious that the market was starting to look ahead. Now, I'm not going to say that the entire market was looking ahead. I saw a statistic today that the individual investor is now coming back to the market. Where did I see that? Did I write that one down? No, and somewhere in here in my notes from today. But you know, they have measures, broad measures to look at activity underneath the surface of the market and who's involved in that activity in the market. And they're reporting that the individual investor, the retail investor, they're called, they are coming back into the market. Well, the problem is, you know, this is now July, and this all started back in January. And you've had about 35% tacked onto the NASDAQ since then. The S&P has tacked on about 18%. So now where do you go with new money? Do you buy the stocks that have led the way for the first 7 months of this year? Or do you look for other opportunities? And I would just say that the answer to that question is a little of both. Some of the stocks that have led the way are still 70 to 80%. They still have 70 to 80% upside potential. That's where valuations come in. I do my own valuations, and I do 3 to 5 year valuations, and that's part of my BestStocksNowApp.com. which has those valuations in them. Other stocks, for instance, before the break, we were talking about Microsoft. As I look at Microsoft today, now I haven't had time to factor in the new pricing on Copilot, but I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact, really, on future earnings. I show Microsoft with about 40% upside potential right here. Okay, yeah. So I wouldn't put new money right now, nor would I sell my Microsoft.
Yeah, it's just going to help them. I mean, at this point, right? You look at those kind of moves and announcements, and what it does is help them remain competitive, right?
Exactly. And Microsoft was a major player when I first got into the industry in the late 90s. It's still a major player. Why has it stayed in the game? Because they continue to innovate and be a leader at what they do. Now, Apple would be another example here. Apple will eventually, they report earnings. It could be tomorrow. Let me see, or it's early next week. Apple will report earnings, August the 3rd, so it's still a ways out. However, having said that, what do you do with Apple here at this level? Well, Jeffrey says that Apple is likely to remain a source of safety ahead of Q3 estimates. Would I put new money into Apple here? Apple, according to the app, has 40% upside potential here. I require 70, 80, or more. So it obviously is not for me on my buy list, okay? Therein lies that boring word hold. Hold. It's a hold, okay? Now, other stocks still meet my buy criteria. Now, they're getting less and less, obviously, but that's what it boils down to at this point in time. You have to be much, much more particular. You can't take a shotgun approach at the market. You have to take more of a rifle approach at the market. Okay, Broadcom. It looks like they're going to eventually end, well, it looks like Microsoft's going to end up with Activision, which obviously is part of them staying current. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Broadcom's going to end up with
Shockwave? No,
with VMware.
VMware, that's it. Yep.
Now, let's just check on Broadcom. As of yesterday, it was still kind of in there, right, of my 70 to 80% upside. Then I look at the chart. Yeah, Broadcom is still 75% upside potential.
And then it comes Microsoft, down. What they extended, that X division till October 18th. So they got a little
that
more time.
Far?
Yeah, lawyers got some, lawyers have plenty of more billing hours ahead that they can use to get that deal.
That opens the door to the regulators to figure out, to find a judge that will will rule in their favor. Okay, now, get the let out, AT&T. Just a horribly managed company. They've got lead in Lake Tahoe, of all places.
Oh no! Keep Tahoe. Keep Tahoe blue. Folks are going to be real mad.
But look, AT&T is bouncing today. Apparently, it's not as bad as they thought.
10%. I think they said less than 10% copper wire had lead clad cables. Whatever.
Yes, but that's a lot of miles of lead, and so Verizon's got the same problem. Lowe's expands same-day delivery capabilities. Well, you know what? Everybody wants it, and they want it now.
And they don't want to go get it. They want it to just show up at their house, right?
And some of that stuff is hard. I have lugged, I can't tell you how many sacks of organic compost for my garden I've lugged.
I'm with you.
I try to, the 60-pound sacks, by the time you get it all, that's why I don't have the best of a backs out
gotta,
there, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a wheelbarrow.
Yep. Even if Lowe's delivers it, I still got to carry it the last mile or the last 100 feet or whatever it is.
To where you need it, right?
But, you know, they've always had a problem. You know, I've gotten some deliveries from Home Depot. Lowe's has always not been that friendly for delivering stuff. So anyways, Lowe's is going to get in. They got to compete with Amazon. That's one area that Amazon has kind of stayed away from, the big, heavy, getting a truckload of organic compost or bark or whatever, decorative bark. Okay, now we get into some earnings here. Okay, ASML, they beat on their top and bottom line, and they raised their 23 outlook. That's all good, right?
Yeah, and well, why do you think if they raised their outlook, guess what? That probably means that some of these other companies are going to be making more chips, right?
Yes, and they make the equipment, the high-tech equipment for making NVIDIA and AMD and Broadcom chips. ASML, however, is down 3.9% today. I don't know what you got to do. They beat on all levels. It must have been somewhere in something. But ASML is still one of the powerhouse. It is the leader. When it comes to equipment, you know, it runs circles around Applied Materials. I look at it this way. NVIDIA and AMD are to Intel what ASML is to, like, Applied Materials and some of the older equipment makers of the past. ASML is the cutting-edge stock out of that group. They're out of the Netherlands. Okay, Goldman Sachs, they missed earnings by $3.08. Okay, so how is it ASML beats on all counts, and it's down 3.4%, which is no big deal, And Goldman just has a miserable quarter, and they're up 1.1%. Go figure. Sometimes the market doesn't make any sense. Well, I guess there was a lot in their big miss, you know, stuff that they were writing down, one-time write-downs. But they seem to have a – Barry, they seem to have a one-time write-down every quarter. So well, that, to me, that's not a one-time write-down anymore.
I mean, as a fine, put it, you know, put it, you know, just put it in context. As a finance company, right? They had a bunch of analysts on there, obviously employed at Goldman, and you know, you missed by you know, basically 25%. What they missed by a buck 06, they came in at 308, so they missed basically by 25%. You'd think they'd have a little bit better handle on their
well,
guidance, right?
I've told my story before. It's worth mentioning again. We used to have these mutual fund wholesalers come and visit us, buy us pizza, and try to get us to buy their mutual fund. Those were the days when they could do that. And Goldman Sachs brought in, they started a new mutual fund. It was the Goldman Sachs Select Fund. It was the top picks from their top analysts. And, of course, Goldman Sachs goes out and gets the top talent from the colleges and whatnot, graduates. That fund, I bought a little bit, just, you know, some of my smaller accounts. It did so poorly that they eventually closed the fund. So, yeah, would you trust Goldman Sachs with your money managing your money? They can't seem to manage their own money. That's just my opinion. I'll leave it there. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna go, live whoever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna
go. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the beat goes on, and the earnings beat, and also the breakouts continue to take place. The NASDAQ earlier this year, followed by the S&P 500 a few months ago, and now the Dow, which was inevitable as more sectors, which the Dow represents. The Dow is not heavily concentrated in tech like the NASDAQ is. The Dow is not heavily concentrated in any one sector. It's a very balanced sector. So the market kind of has to spread out into the financial sector, the energy sector, the industrials, et cetera, for the Dow to get some traction, and it is. Okay, now, I would also say this, that today is really being heavily influenced by a couple of stocks. So underneath the surface of the market, the indexes, which make the headlines, the performance of the individual stocks is not nearly as robust as the headlines might suggest. What are the two stocks that are heavily influencing the market today? Actually, there's three. Number one stock influencing the market is Verizon. Verizon is a stock that has just been pounded, hitting new lows. But apparently this lead issue, there's news on it today that's favorable for Verizon. So you have an outsized move for a stock that is a component in the big indexes. Verizon's up 5.5% today. So, you know, all right. So the Dow S&P having this huge day because one reason, Verizon is having a big day, and it's not a very good stock. The other one is AT&T. AT&T is greatly weighing to the upside, both the Dow and the S&P. AT&T is up 8.5%. Beyond that, there's really only one other stock that really stands out to me today, and you mentioned it, Barry. It's Salesforce. Because Salesforce is a member of the Dow. Salesforce is a tech stock. Salesforce is a software stock. They do the CRM. It's the biggest CRM, you know, a lot of big corporations use their customer relationship management software. And, but they're also a player in AI. And so Salesforce, probably on the heels of what Microsoft announced yesterday, Salesforce is breaking out to a new 52-week high. It's up 3.7%. So
I'd probably throw Schwab there too. Schwab, I mean, from yesterday, like you said, mentioned it how big, how well it did yesterday, and it's actually its effect is still working through. Look at PacWest, Comerica, Zion. Both, you know, few of them are about to. I think they report maybe later on this evening. I think it's that maybe after the close today, but. You know, those names, I think PacWest is up, you know, around 8%, and hopefully, right, Schwab's, what happened with Schwab will help, you know, will also be indicative of what's going on with those names, because, you know, we need a sound banking system, and getting those stock prices back up will at least help hopefully give some folks, at least depositors at those banks, some confidence, right?
Yeah, the other one sector that has not really participated much is the healthcare medical. That's 20% of our economy. And, you know, there was a good report from United Health, UNH, and it's following through today. But outside of that, that's a group I can remember, you know, when that was one. If you own the healthcare sector, Vanguard's healthcare mutual fund was one of the biggest winners of all time. HMOs, hospitals, the big drug companies. It has not been a very good participant in the market this year. We have what we look for in that healthcare sector are breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs, the Dexcoms of the world, the Shockwaves of the world.
Into it.
Gilead, when they came out with their their liver breakthrough drug, insulin, like NVO. We're not really big on the, you know, the big healthcare providers. That's a tough. It's heavily regulated. It's very competitive, and they're always trying to crunch their numbers all the time, their profit margins and whatnot. Keep a lid on them.
And if you're trying to cut the deficit, that's a good spot in terms of regulatory risk. That's a place where you know, they cut reimbursements, things of that nature, which trickle down into hurting some of those healthcare names.
Yep, and then like you say, the regional banks certainly, hey, my hat is off to anybody that went into those regional banks when they were really reeling. You know, the thought seemed to be that they were going to go down, and there were, I even thought, you know what, this is not good. This is dangerous here. We're in dangerous territory if people start pulling their money from these banks like they did Silicon Valley. But unfortunately, it didn't spread. And if you had the guts to step up to the plate in Comerica and Zion and some of the others, Key, U.S. Bancorp, they've done really well.
Regions, now, RF Financial was one I was looking at. I think it got down to around 14. It's around 20 now. And I'm like, well, not a bad return, but it didn't feel great. It wouldn't have felt great when you got in there at 14.
Now, if you're the kind of person that goes to the theme park and seeks out the number one scariest ride with the longest line, the one that goes upside down, sideways, and every which way, you know, Disneyland has them, Dollywood has them, Six Flags has
them. Universal Studios,
I'm not one to get in that line. I'll watch and, you know, watch others. But, okay, here's the stock for you. The one that fits that category, this Carvana.
Oh, I saw this.
It's
I knew
just
you were get
unbelievable on the downside, the upside. I think this is the Reddit crowd is probably behind this thing. The short sellers are behind this thing. It's up 37%. What do? They sell and deliver used cars.
And how many new shares are they going to come out with? It's, I think, what, is it over $1 billion? There's a certain, they're going to dilute the stock, and the stock is what? When I saw it this morning, it's up over 10%. I haven't looked at it yet recently. But, yeah, they're essentially got a new debt deal, and they're going to issue more shares. Or they got the approval to do so.
This is the one for you e-ticket folks out there that love to, you know, trade fast-moving stocks, trying to guess which way it's going to go. All right, well, I'm, you know, the newsletter will be coming out this week. We'll have a good update on future numbers and expectations for you. Tesla's numbers come out tonight. You have to watch your individual PE ratios, especially on new money purchases. If you'd like a consultation with us, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.